Next 10 or 11 minutes, as I've timed it, maybe a short one this morning, I want us to consider this thought. Do you know my Jesus? If I asked anyone that, even those on the street, they would probably say, oh yes, I know Jesus. We have a godly nation, so many people say. But do we really know Jesus? Throughout our lifetime, the thing that is emphasized so many times is, what do you know? How much do you know? And there's such an emphasis on worldly wisdom. You look at, in the child, throughout our childhood, we spend most of our childhood in school, learning the ways of the world and how we can be successful in the world and so forth. And then you get into adulthood and you transition into continuing education. I used to hate that as a teacher. I know what I'm doing. But then they add more and more onto that. And what they're trying to do is say, here's the latest techniques. Here's the latest things that can help you sharpen your knowledge in your specific field. And so we're always learning about these worldly things. And learning is a good thing. We need wisdom. We need knowledge and so forth. But like the saying says, it's not what you know, but who you know that counts. And that's what I want us to keep in mind and take with us this week. Do we know the one that we need to know more than the things that of this world that we may think we need to know? And hopefully that made sense or whatnot. As you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we see Solomon quickly understood that what we know in worldly wisdom isn't everything. Notice what he says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, beginning of verse 12. He says there, I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all things, all that has been done under heaven. It is a grievous task which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, behold, I have magnified and increased wisdom more than all who were over Jerusalem before me. And my mind has observed a wealth of wisdom and knowledge. And I set my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I realize that this also is striving after wind. Because in much wisdom there is much grief, and increasing knowledge results in increasing pain. Solomon understood that the worldly wisdom of this world, it wasn't everything. But the Bible reminds us over and over, again, it's not the what we know, but who we know that has eternal importance to us. And so I want us to look at a couple things. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, do you remember who it was that Timothy knew, or that Paul knew rather, and what that allowed him to do? Notice what he says, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. It says there, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm convinced or persuaded that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Who did Paul know? Paul knew Jesus. And because of who he knew, he was able to endure the things in this life. And I don't think that Paul could have endured the things that he faced, as we just talked about in Bible class. All that list of things that he endured, he couldn't have done that if he didn't know Jesus. And if his mind and his focus and that kind of knowledge, if he didn't have that, I don't think he could have made it. I don't know how anybody could make it through life in a pleasing manner if they don't know Jesus. If they don't know God, if they don't know his word, obviously we don't even know what pleasing is. But because of who he knew, he was able to endure the things of this life. There are some people who think that they are Christians. Some people who hope that they are Christians. But really, if you're having to think that you're a Christian or you're hoping that you're a Christian, chances are you're not a Christian. When it comes to a question of that importance as to whether or not you are Christ's or not, we need to know that. We don't need to be doubting whether or not we are Christ is not. And when it comes to knowing Christ, there's some things that we can read about and we can learn through the scriptures about that. And one of that is if we know Christ, if we know God, we're going to believe in him. It may seem like a very obvious point, but this is a very simple lesson just to remind us as to whether or not we really know him. But over in John, 1 John chapter 5, John points out this very thing, that if we know him, we're going to believe him. And beginning at verse 10, It says, the one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. And the one who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Notice verse 12. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Now back to verse 12, I've got to emphasize the word has there. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. And that word has there literally means to possess, to enjoy, to hold, to keep, and so forth. And as you think about, yes, I know Jesus because I possess Jesus. I enjoy Jesus. I hold to Jesus. I keep Jesus in my life. That's what it means there in verse 12. And as he says in verse 13, because we know Jesus, because we believe in Jesus, that allows us to know that we have eternal life. If we don't have that, if we don't know Jesus, we don't have eternal life. And again, he adds to that as you look in the next point here in John chapter 10. In addition to believing him, we also, if we know him, we're going to be following him. John chapter 10, beginning of verse 24 this time. John 10 and verse 24. And Jesus is talking to the Jews here and trying to explain this relationship to him, to them about if you really know me, you're going to be following me. Verse 24, the Jews then gathered around him, that is Jesus, and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. That's the same thing that Weston just read there a minute ago. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Go back to verse 14. He also says there, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. I know my own, and my own know me. That right there says a whole lot, just in a few words. Verse 15, even as the Father, here's the comparison he makes here. Even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. The Lord knows his own, and his own know him. And it becomes evident in there, and we're going to see that relationship, that mutual relationship between a shepherd and his flock. The same thing goes for us as Christians. If we are to receive the eternal benefits of our shepherd, well, guess what? We've got to listen to him. We've got to follow him. That means we can't say, yes, I know him, and then follow our own way and listen to our own things. No, we've got to go back to the word in that. But in addition to believing him and following him, that also includes obedience to him. Go back to 1 John chapter 2 this time. 1 John chapter 2. Notice the test here for knowing him. Verse 3 of 1 John chapter 2. It says, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to work in the same manner as he walked. Again, if we're going to follow him, if we're going to keep his commandments, if we're not going to follow him, if we're not going to keep his commandments, Jesus just flat out says here, you don't know me. You may say you know me, but you don't know me. You've got to do what I ask you to do. And it's going to become very evident whether or not you know me or not. But when you tie all these things together, this belief, this following, this obedience, it all goes back to this. To know him is to love him. And anybody who likes older music, I apologize, because for the rest of the day, you're going to be going, to know him is to love him. And I just did that on camera. I've been singing it for several days now, so you can enjoy it. It's a good song. But that's exactly what we need to be thinking about when it comes to Christ. To know him is to love him, and that means we're going to believe him. And it means we're going to obey him and so forth and follow him. In John chapter 15, In verse 10, Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And there's that same comparison that Jesus makes with us to him and him to the Father. I do this to him, you do this to me. Because in doing it for me, you're doing it for him as well. Again, God the Father, God the Son, and so forth. But he says that's what we need to do. But John 14 and verse 15, again, a familiar passage to us. If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. If you know me, keep my commandments. But if you're not keeping my commandments, you don't love me and you don't know me. And that's the thing we've got to keep in mind. Unfortunately, sometimes sheep stray from the flock, don't they? At one point, they may have listened to their shepherd. They may have followed him and obeyed his commands. But then, just as Christians do sometimes, we stop listening. We stop following the commands and obeying where he tells us to go. And before we know it, we're lost sheep. And many times devoured by the wolves and the things that are out there in the world. And so that's a warning for us. If we're focusing too much on what we know here on earth and not who we know up in heaven, the same thing can happen to us as well. We can stop listening, we can stop following, and we can be lost. And so that's the warning that we need to take with us. But if we do truly know him, we will believe him, we'll follow him, we'll obey him, and in all of that, we'll show that we truly love him. I hope that this week that we can all know Jesus better and be thinking about our knowledge to him better than maybe we have been in the days past. Go ahead and open up your song. Well, before we do that, let me read one passage from Romans chapter 8. A very encouraging passage to those who do know Jesus. As Paul's writing to the Roman brethren here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, he says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God," and I think about that, being led by, being sheep of our shepherd, "are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." If we know God through obedience to his word, and if we are following him, we can be adopted as God's children. Does that not impress you to say, God has chosen to adopt me and all of my sin and all the things that I've done in my life that are wrong. He's chosen to adopt me. That's awesome. Instead of being a slave, as it says there, I get to be an heir. And not just any heir, but an heir with Christ. An heir of God and the eternal promises that are there. If that doesn't lift you up, then I don't know what will. But I've got to know my Jesus if I'm going to have that comfort. And so I hope that we can take that with us this morning and like I said, know Jesus better this week than maybe we have in the past. Now go ahead and open up your songbook number 470. Do you know my Jesus? As we sing this song, I hope that we will ask ourselves that question. What is most important to me? What I know or who I know? Again, doesn't matter who you know here on earth. It's who you know up in heaven. Do we know the Lord because we believe him and we follow him and we obey him and we love him and those things? Maybe it is this morning that you're not a child of God. If you're not a child of God this morning, you don't know Jesus the way that he wants you to know him because you've not been obedient to him. And so that can change very quickly this morning by following him, listening to him as he guides you to that water of baptism, to have our sins forgiven and washed away. That's a wonderful thing that we can enjoy as Christians. But maybe as you are a child of God this morning, but like sheep sometimes do, we stop listening to our shepherd. We stop following him everywhere he commands us to, and we start following our own path a little bit. Maybe we're just on the outskirts of the flock. Why don't you know him a little better this week? Why don't you do what you can to help get back into the fold? Again, if you have any spiritual need this morning, we're here to help you with that. For baptism, for prayers, for encouragement, whatever we can offer to you, we need to do that for you. And if you're willing to let us help you with that, won't you do so right now as we stand and sing?